Welcome to the Gum Guru Podcast. I'm Jason Kong here with Dr. Macon Singletary. Dr. Singletary, how are you doing?
Better than I deserve. You know, that's my favorite saying. We're blessed by the best.
I love it. I love to hear it. And I love today's topic as well, because as we just heard, we're talking about pain and swelling around our implants and why we shouldn't panic. So, you know, that is a sort of alarming but also calming title there, Dr. Singletary. So what do we need to know about that?
First of all, when a person feels they have swelling around the implant or pain, or even if they're flossing and they notice bleeding, it may not hurt, but if there's bleeding, they should contact their dentist or periodontist. And I would emphasize the periodontist, because that's what we do, gum and bone around teeth and implants. What I find, Jason, is when people come in and they've been told, and lots of times it's second opinion, they'll come in and say, they told me the implant needs to go. I want to save it. Well, first of all, it's an investment. And what I really try to find out on all my patients, but how much they know about inflammatory gum disease. You know, did the individual who put the implant in for them, you know, I ask a question, did they tell you what causes gum disease? If I ask you one word, what causes inflammation in your mouth, what would you say? Now, I'm from Durham. We call it pyorrhea over there. Here in Raleigh, we're more erudite. We call it gum disease or periodontal disease. But it's the same term, pyorrhea, gum disease. You know, what causes it? And it's only one thing. It's bacteria. And so when I look at a patient to determine if I'm going to do an implant for them, the four things I look at, are they healthy? Are the things that affect how they fight infection, like uncontrolled diabetes or nicotine? So the medical history, do they smoke? Nicotine's a kiss of death to implants. Their periodontal condition, is it stable? And did they have enough bone? Now, once they're in, it's life begins with a tooth. I try to figure out, well, why did you lose this to begin with? Are they susceptible to periodontal disease? So I have to do a periodontal exam. I blend the medical history, the oral exam, and the x-rays, and I'll come up with a diagnosis, prognosis, and a treatment plan. If it's a localized thing, you know, I get aggressive. I start out with, okay, bacteria causes it. I ask them, how many times a day are you brushing? You know, if they're brushing once or twice and they got implants, that's not enough. I mean, whether you got implants or not, I've been telling everybody, you got to brush four times a day. Bacteria grows back within 30 minutes, have your teeth clean. It is a habit change, but if you're investing in your mouth and you got an implant, you really want to take care of it, and once a day is not enough. So, you know, I look at their oral hygiene. Are they brushing appropriately? Do they floss it appropriately? Most of the time when I see these implants done elsewhere, I show me how you're flossing. It's like, you know, the spider web thing with your fingers. You know, they're not able to do it. Nobody's really taking the time to show them how to manipulate around the implant appropriately. The neck of the implant, rarely, the diameter of the implant, rarely does it create the natural diameter of the tooth. It's more narrow. So as you go into the implant post from the crown, you got a little concave area you got to get to. You got to learn how to get to it. So I look at the oral hygiene, hope I'll get them to understand what causes gum disease. Then I'll probably do antibiotic therapy. Now, sometimes I'll do a DNA analysis if I don't get a response to determine which bacteria is growing there. There are 11 anaerobic species of anaerobic bacteria that can destroy gum tissue attachment bone themselves, producing toxins. They can oxidize the implant post, cause titanium oxide, and that's not good. And so there are ways that we can treat it, though. So first of all, diagnose it. Determine their susceptibility, this pyramid of susceptibility, I call it. And then I make sure they're not allergic to anything in particular. Then I may put them on antibiotic and then get them back in 2 weeks. And between the oral hygiene and the antibiotic, I should see improvement. If I don't see improvement, we go to the next step.
You know, if you're asking patients, why they had to get implants, you know, to me that implies that there's a problem there, because there's a misconnection there between the patient not understanding why this situation happened. And to me, that's frightening, because implants are a significant investment. I mean, does that worry you that, you know, you have to ask that question? Because, you know, it seems to me that you're only asking that if you're noticing a trend that people just don't know.
Well, that's true. And so it's easy to say, we're going to take all your teeth out and do all on fours. Well, you're right. Why did you lose your teeth to begin with? There are four kinds of patients. Good teeth, good gums. I rarely see them, maybe for implants or gum grafts. And the reason why they may need implants is a fractured tooth or it's a root canal that went bad. They're not susceptible to aggressive gum disease. Then you got the soft teeth, people who are not susceptible to aggressive inflammatory gum disease. Everybody's got bacteria in the mouth, but they don't react to it aggressively. Those people will probably be good candidates. Then there's your periodontally susceptible people who have good bad gums but good teeth. Then you got the bad gums, bad teeth group. Not only they're susceptible to decay, but inflammatory gum disease. But if an individual is losing a tooth to inflammatory gum disease, they will lose an implant the same way, unless there's a habit change. And that's where I get into the habit change. You know, I look at the medical history. Is that a factor? I always say at the top of the pyramid is what causes inflammatory gum disease, whether it's an implant or a natural tooth. Bacteria. Plaque soft. It's a no-brainer. It's easy to remove. You just got to do it. And if you do it, sometimes people who may think are susceptible, calm it down, and then it may be an option. But it's you until I get a handle on a person's ability to manipulate the bacteria effectively. You know, I could believe in the KISS principle. Keep it simple. I'll add things to it that's appropriate, but it's the bristle brush, the thread, the floss. But you're right. I mean, if somebody's susceptible to inflammatory gum disease and have bone loss, putting the implants in that person may be long-term not a good idea. Short-term, yeah, it might work. But an individual needs to be aware of what are the ramifications, what does this look like short-term, long-term. Had an individual the other day who didn't have implants. We did a procedure in 2004, breaking down in the same area. You know, this is 10 years ago. And she said, what do you mean? We did surgery there 10 years ago. I said, when you walk out of this office, the bacteria is growing back within 30 minutes. So that day in, day out growth, you're susceptible. You know, if I can add another 10 years to this area and we do the same procedure again, would you be happy? Well, yeah. I said, well, okay, I think that might be a good thing to do. If it's 2 years and it's breaking down, then it may not be a good thing to do. I go to a different route of treatment.
You know, so oftentimes when it comes to our mouths, we are often in denial, or maybe we do a little bit of a wait and see approach, which usually does not end up in the best interest of the patient. So if we are experiencing some pain or swelling, or we see a little bleeding around our implants and we don't act on it, what are the consequences?
Well, peri-implantitis is bone loss around the implant. When that implant post oxidizes, your body will reject it, and eventually they'll lose it. We can save an implant. And again, those things that I look at would, after the antibiotic therapy, I look at the bite. Trauma and periodontal disease bring implants down. Clenching, grinding. I'm almost at the point now where I almost recommend all my patients that get implants to have a night guard to put in at night to take the stress off the teeth and disperse it evenly. But the laser protocol will help detoxify that implant post. I can, if I think the investment's a good one and the patient's willing and they, you know, they don't smoke and they get into the, you know, I'm going to brush four times a day, I'm going to floss real well once, at least once, then, you know, the investment they have to go to the next step, you know, my golf bag of treatment options, Big Bertha's my laser club. And so, you know, and the laser protocol to treat these implants is, I can graft bone around them. I can get bone to grow around implants with the appropriate therapy using the laser. So there is hope, but you know, it's just hopefully the patient understands why they are where they are. And yeah, if there's tenderness, you don't want to wait. You don't want to sit on it. Not only is, if they're swollen, if it's, there's an abscess, you know, that can get into the bloodstream and not just fed just, you know, the mouth, but the brain, the heart, the joints. So, you know, any swelling in the mouth is not good. It needs to be looked at.
Well, that leads us to our action step. What is that for this episode?
Well, I mean, obviously, if you're flossing and it bleeds, or if there's tenderness, you know, get in and have a periodontist look at it. I mean, that's what we do. I mean, you go get your general dentist to look at it and see what they say should be done. But, you know, it can be saved. Just because there's some bone loss around it doesn't necessarily mean it needs to come out, particularly if they can still use it. It's not mobile. Once an implant's mobile, then it's failed. But with it, if it's still firm and solid, you get somebody to look at it. If somebody says, yeah, we got to take that out, get a second opinion.
Excellent. So take action now if you fall into that category. We thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Gum Guru. We hope you'll subscribe and do it again.
If you would like to know more about ways to make sure your smile is healthy or more information on any of the treatments in today's discussion, check out their website at northraleighperio.com. If you have other questions you'd like to have answered on the Gum Guru podcast, send them to contact@northraleighperio.com.